verses 1 through 10, and you can follow along on page 690. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with the righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. So ends the first lesson. The psalm today is number 72, verses 1 through 7 and 18 through 19. Which you can follow along on page 578. I'll do the odds if you'll follow along with the evens. And with that interruption, you'll be picking up on verse 18. Endow the king with your justice, O God. The royal son with your righteousness. May the mountains bring prosperity to the people, the hills the fruit of righteousness. May he endure as long as the sun, as long as the moon, through all generations. In his days, may the righteous flourish and prosperity abound till the moon is no more. Praise be to his glorious name forever. May the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The second lesson comes from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 13, and can be found on page 1139. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles, I will sing the praises of your name." Again it says, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him." And again Isaiah says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Gospel according to the third chapter of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Would you please be seated? Could I have the children come down for the children's sermon? That wasn't breakable. Okay. Let's see what we've got today. Huh. I have a ballerina. Ooh. Yeah. Okay. So, why don't you tell me a little bit about her? What can you tell me? She's a Christmas ornament. Ah. So do you hang around a tree?
Yeah.
You do? Okay. You know, if you were to put this on the tree, let's just pretend. I'm thinking about putting her on a tree over there. That's why I'm kind of waiting here. If we were to put her on, okay, look at the tree over there. Okay, what's on that tree besides, we got a couple different things. We have,
Angel.
We have an angel on the top. All right, what else do we have? Ornaments, those are called chrismons. And what else is on there? Lights, lots of lights. Now, if we were to put this ballerina on that tree, what do you think would happen to her? What do you think? She what? She might fall down if I didn't hang her correctly. Okay, I will hang her correctly. What do you think? I'll bet. What? Okay, what? She might what? Break? Not if I hang her on the tree, right? I'll bet. You know what I bet? I bet that she would sparkle and shine. Don't you? As that light kind of goes through all this clear stuff here and she's got sparkles all over her, I bet she would sparkle and shine. And she would look even more beautiful than what she does right now. You think so? I think so too. Well, you know, that's one of the things about God. When we talk about God's light, right? In other words, about God being a part of us. Well, when God's a part of us, we kind of what? Sparkle and shine with God's love, don't we? If we don't, if we keep all that to ourselves,
It won't spread.
Does it sparkle and shine? No. If you're out during the week and you yell or hit or kick or say something bad to somebody, does that sparkle and shine? No, that's kind of like, ugh, isn't it? There's no sparkle and shine to that. But if you have God's love and you share it and show it, if you're kind, you have kind words, if you help other people, what happens with God's love? It kind of sparkles and shines through you, doesn't it? So even though we're not made out of clear plastic, I'll let you hang on to that, we're kind of like that ballerina in some ways. If we let God's light shine through us, if we care for one another, are nice to one another, help one another, God's love does what? It shows. If you don't, then it doesn't. So we're to be kind of like her, to let God's light, to let God's love spread. Thank you. I ought to let you do this instead of me. You're doing pretty well here. So, what I want you to do this week, here's your job. Find one way to let God's love shine through you. Okay? Can you do that? All right. So let's pray. God, we want to thank you that you love us as much as you do. Help us to let your love be seen by other people through us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, hold on here. If you haven't had the can, then you can pick a number. Okay? So, let's see. You haven't had it.
You've had it. You want to grab a number? All right. Well, you got to come over here. Come on. Nick, you want to get a number? Come on. I told you, you guys are young. You can come over here. I'm not getting up and crawling around over here. Okay, who else? You. The rest of you had. Carmen, you haven't had a number yet. Let's see, who else? Lucy has, Sophie has, Nicole has, Angela has. No, Becca, you've had it, and Grace, you've had it. Okay, the low number. All right, what do we got? Carmen, let me have your number here. 13. Okay. Nick, what do you got? 2. Hang on to that one. What do you have? Eleven. Nope. Three. Ooh, that hurts, doesn't it? You got a 1? You do. 1, 2, 3. Okay, you're it, buddy. Sorry, Nick. Almost. All right. See you next week.
Close.
So close. Okay. You want to find his name and put it in there. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, usually when we think about Christmas time or this time of the year, we think of a time that's filled with joy, laughter, snow that lightly blankets the earth, with this little bit of white stuff over it. Christmas carols playing in the background. And while that may sound like Christmases that you used to enjoy, or maybe a Christmas that you would like to enjoy at this particular time, more often than not, that's kind of a sentimental picture we have of Christmas. It's not really what it is or what this time is. In one of his monologues on the news from Lake Wobegon, Garrison Keillor makes this observation. He says, "I remember that life, a life in which people made do. It's lost, not only to this world, but also to memory, because I can't bring it back, even in words. Because my memory is faulty, as everyone's is. And when I think about that life that's gone and those people, I think about it as the olden days, the good old days, when life was simple, and it's not true. It's a terrible disservice to them. Life was simple for me, because I was a child and my happiness was looked after by other people. But it was not simple for the others. Never." Christmas isn't always a happy time for everybody around. Christmas can often be a difficult time for folks. Kind of like, it's kind of like the pastor that went into his first congregation. Now, you know, you walk into your first congregation, you think you know all the answers, you got it all figured out. And so he wanted to have the perfect Christmas, the Christmas like he used to remember when he was a child. So he started making, started making all these plans. But things didn't turn out quite the way that he thought. They used to have a Christmas program, Christmas pageant in this church, Maple Street Lutheran Church. They'd done the same program for 15 years. 10 years it had been done by Gertrude Allen, who had written the program. And when she passed away, her daughter, Mary Lynn, took it over. Well, the year that David came to the congregation as the pastor, Mary Lynn was 8.5 months pregnant. Decided that as much as she wanted to, she really couldn't do the pageant that year. So it was up to David to find somebody else to do it. So being the new pastor, he went out and, you know, nobody tells you the rules. I mean, you know, until after you've already done something. So he went out and he found somebody, a new member. She'd done a couple things in high school, a little bit of theater, and he thought she would be great. So he asked her to do the program, and she said, yeah, I'll be more than happy to do it. Nobody told her the rules either, like who was supposed to get what parts. And so when she went out and picked the individual who was supposed to be Mary, she went out and picked this young lady over there who she thought was just the most perfect person for it. Nobody told her that she wasn't a member of the church. Nobody told her that she could swear like a sailor. Nobody told her that her family was rough and tough. And until the next day, when the lady who was in charge of all the costumes came in and said, why didn't you pick my daughter? I've been grooming her for this part for the last 12 years. And thus began the great Christmas pageant war of 2005. That would have been fine if things would have ended there, but poor David just didn't. Young bride came to see him. Seems that when she married her husband, you know, you overlook a lot of stuff, right? She didn't know that he was an avid hunter. All of November, all of December, and he was making plans for January and February, and when there wasn't hunting, there was ice fishing. She began to wonder who it was that she'd married. And then he started going around town. He'd see his members in different places. It was a small town, you know, kind of like here. You run into people all the time. And so he'd ask the question, how's it going? Now he asked one man, and he said, how's it going? He said, not good. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, my dad died a week before Christmas. He said, I hate this time of the year. It just brings back all those memories. Another person put it a little more bluntly. He said, how's it going? She said, terrible. I'm single. This is a rotten time of the year. So he made up his mind he wasn't going to change his opening. He wasn't going to ask, how's it going? Until the next day he was in Safeway and he almost ran into one of the cart of one of the Sunday school or one of the school teachers in town. It was her first year teaching. So he said, how's it going? And she said, do you really want to know? And he thought to himself, maybe I should just tell her no. I was trying to make polite conversation. But he let her talk. She said, you know, Pastor, kids can be mean. They are not always the nice, lovable people that we think that they are. I went into teaching because I loved kids. Now, I've had it up to here with kids. Doesn't always go the way that you think. And it's not, this is not to put a damper on your Christmas. It's not to give a different or a gloomy view of the world, but rather, it's really to give a realistic view of life in the world. Why in the world? Think about this. Why did Jesus come to earth? Because it's a nice, warm, cuddly place. I don't think so. Because he was looking for a sunny place for a vacation. Not really. Jesus came because the world is hurt and broken. And we're broken. And we're hurt. And we needed somebody to save us. And that's why he came. It's about, so this time of the year then, Advent, is about preparing. It's about preparing ourselves to receive this gift that God has given us, the gift of his Son. But the question is, how do we prepare ourselves? And how do we prepare others to receive this gift? Now, we could do the John the Baptist thing, you know? Camel hair's clothes, leather belt, a little itchy, but it does get people's attention. You could invite them over to your house for a locust and honey dinner. But I don't think you'd get too many takers. So how do we prepare our heart, and how do we prepare the hearts of others? How do we get them to know this God who loves us so much? So what I want to show you, I'm going to show you a clip. I showed you this, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. But it's like my favorite video clip, one of my very favorites. And what it is, it's Steve Harvey introducing Jesus. And he's doing this to a, he's at a comedy club. It is a secular place, but it's how he, all right, we're good. How he would introduce Jesus. So we're going to watch this for a second. If we got some sound.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. God has been good.
So here's your question. How would you introduce Jesus? There's a neat little book out, and it's called The Conspiracy of Kindness, and it's by Steve Sogren, and he says that most people, while they really want to be brave for Jesus, do this kind of stuff, he said, they're more like Mel Brooks than G.I. Joe. Most people suffer from what he calls EFD. You ready? Evangelism Frustration Disorder. Which basically says that you want to do the right thing. You want to be brave. It was really cool. I went on and Googled something here, and I'm going to tell you what it is in just a second. It's called, because he came up with a club, and it's called Cowards for Jesus. So I went on and I Googled Cowards for Jesus. I wanted to see what this was all about. And you know what I found? I didn't put it in quotes. I just put Cowards for Jesus. And I kept finding all these sermons, all these things that said, everybody has to be brave for Jesus. Put away all your fears. Put away all your anxieties. You have to be brave, because if you're not brave, then you're not doing what Jesus wants you to do. I really like this Cowards for Jesus club. I like that idea. Because where does Jesus ever say, you've got to be brave? All Jesus asks you to do is one thing. He asks you to be you. He asks you to be you. And what we are just ordinary, normal, and at times, all a little bit dysfunctional folks. But we all have one thing in common. And the one thing that we have in common is this, that we're loved by Christ. And we love him. And we don't have to go out and storm the world by force. All we're called to do is share God's love. Because I'm going to tell you something. All the little acts that you do during a week of sharing God's love, of the kindness that you give to those around you, you're going to change more lives than any sermon I ever preach. I will guarantee you that. Because we live in a world anymore where those things seem to be few and far between. And it's not that they're not out there. I think we just kind of overlook them sometimes. So to be a coward for Jesus, what do you need to do? Well, it's real simple. You care about the folks around you. Maybe there's somebody you know who just needs someone to pray for them. You don't have to go up and say, I'm going to pray for you. Pray for them in secret. Boy, there are a lot of secret prayers out there. You know, those aren't bad things. You want to pray for me in secret? I really hope you do. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. I need all the prayer I can get. You have opportunities to listen to people. You know, that's one of the really difficult things anymore. We get running around so much. We just want somebody to listen to us, to hear us.
to hear what's on our hearts. You know, it's kind of like when he says, what's going on back at the beginning? How's it going? Do you really want to know? You know, let me give you a suggestion. If you don't want to know, don't ask the question. Because if you ask the question, then you need to take the time to listen. And sometimes it's just the simple things that you do. It's like the lady that was in Toys R Us. She was in line. And while she was in line, there were two college girls running the line. And they were tired. They'd been working for hours and hours. They were tired and they were hungry. And the one girl said to the other, she said, you know, I really want to go out and I want to get a sandwich because I haven't had hardly anything to eat all day. But I've only got $3.25. So I can't get the sandwich that I want to get. And she said, well, that's okay. Just why don't you go get a bagel? She said, that's what I had for breakfast. I'd like a little bit more than that. And so the lady in line took a $5 bill, handed it to her, said, Merry Christmas. She came around the counter, gave her a hug, thanked her. She said, why'd you do that? She said, it's really simple. Jesus loves you. And then she took out some coupons for Starbucks, gave them to both the girls, said, Merry Christmas. They kind of looked at her. And she said, you know, this is what it's all about. This is what Christmas is about. Jesus came to save us because he loves us. And I want you to know that he loves you too. Now, she wasn't really sure whether it got it through or not, but she could tell that they listened. We don't necessarily have to be brave. But there'll be opportunities, even for us cowards, to be a little brave once in a while. You'll know when it is. And when it is, when you show that, then you prepare not only yourself, but you prepare the hearts of those around you to receive this gift that changes lives. It's changed yours. And we can change others. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing our hymn. It's hymn number 249.